Well, this last week, was in Dallas, Texas for a church leaders conference. And in case you don't know this, just a little heads up, Dallas is a little bit different than Alliance. You know, just a little bit different. I am unabashedly a country boy, small town guy. And so a little bit out of my element, the conference was well worth putting up with it, but the traffic was pretty unreal. This was the kind of a thing, you know, with roads all levels and going all different directions, only the roads are filled with people and six lanes and coming at you from all different directions. And the church that hosted this conference tells you in the information they are, unfortunately, in one of the busiest intersections in the nation. And so it was kind of daunting at times. I did have navigators in the vehicle to help me, which was helpful most of the time, except when I was getting multiple admonitions. Go left. No, go right. No, stay straight. Go. And even the girl on the phone, you know, the girl that talks to you from your phone, there were times she gave different directions. You know, she would say, go left, she would tell somebody else, go right, turn here, merge here. No. It was very, very chaotic. I would not choose that for an everyday routine if I had anything to say about it myself. But you know, life is just like that. It can be so chaotic, and things coming at you from all different directions, and you hear different voices telling you contradictory things on the right thing to do. And parenting is like that. Mothering is like that. You got all these different philosophies, and you're being stretched and pulled, and your heart's going different directions, and different ones telling you different things on how to handle different stages. What's a girl to do? What are you supposed to do? How do you make sense of it all? I want to direct you to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 this morning. And if you have your Bibles and can join us, I'd appreciate doing that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, King David is preparing his son Solomon to take over the throne and preparing him for the first great big assignment, which was going to be building the temple to the Lord, this massive construction project. And in this instruction that David gives to his son, there are some simple, basic, but so incredibly profound instructions on how to do life, how to do mothering. And so I want to share this with you today. And I had originally planned something different today, but the first session that we attended at this conference, this passage of Scripture spoke so profoundly to me that this was the message. And I'm directing this towards moms. You first. And then in whatever stage of parenting you are, how to influence your own kids. But if you graduates don't go home with something out of it, and all the rest of us go home with something out of it, you need to get your money back. It's just so incredibly important. 1 Chronicles 28, be looking at verses 9 and 10. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we begin to look at this passage and hear David's words to his son from across the centuries, that you would help us to see how important, how relevant, how timely they are for all of us here today. Lord, I pray a special grace on the moms that are here, that you would give them the ability to hear this and apply it, to be able to be still and know that you are God. And so I just surrender this time to you, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the instruction begins like this. And David has been talking to Solomon about the things that are going to come. And now here's this personal instruction. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. And so this first basic but profound truth, know him. Know the God of your father. David is saying this. He has been my God, and he has meant everything to me. You need to know him too. Now, it's not just to know about him, although learning about him can be one of those steps, but it's not just to know the facts and the statistics, knowing about God. You can know about someone and never get to know them. I know something of Abraham Lincoln, the president. A while back, I was watching a documentary about him and his assassination by John Wilkes Booth, and I learned more things about that I didn't know before, but I don't know them. I've never met them. I've never talked to them. I've never communicated with them at all. It's not just knowing about God. It is this pursuit of him, this eyes open to him, this heart opened to him, this intent and desire to know him as he knows us. Now, it begins with, for you moms, and then to influence those under your care, it begins with knowing him as Savior, as your Savior God. David will caution his son later on here in verse 9. He says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. You see, this knowing God is not a trite thing. It's not a casual thing. It has eternal ramifications. Several hundred years after this was written, Jesus Christ would come into this world. He would be introduced to the world as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. And he would live a perfect and sinless life. And he would go to the cross on Calvary to be what Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years before, that the Lord would then lay on him the iniquity of us all. He went to be our sin bearer. He hung there on the cross, meeting the awful demands of a righteous and holy God. He carried the weight and punishment of our sin. And as he died, just before he died, he cried out, "It is finished. The debt has been paid. It's now possible for sinful human beings to come and know a holy God. It's now possible for people to be able to have an intimate relationship, peace with God, and have a home with him forever." And he is saying, "Y'all come. All who come to me, I will never reject." And if we'll apply the truth that we find in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything that would separate us from a holy God, Christ has taken care of. And so to know him as Savior is first and foremost. The cost of rejecting him, it's too much. But it doesn't have to be there. If you seek him, he'll find you. You'll find him. That is the truth. That is the relevance. So know him. Moms, know him. See it as your most important duty to help those under your influence to know him as well as Savior God. And the word means to look into, to deeply look into. It's calling us to become the kid with our nose to the glass of the donut case. The candy case, just looking and staring and wanting. It's that kind of a thing. Knowing him is wanting him, understanding how much he wants us and wanting him like that. It's talking with him, not just to get stuff, but just for the enjoyment of it. That's why he created us. He had all these angels around him that could have satisfied nearly every desire that God would have, but he wanted people who could respond. So he made us. And he wants that kind of a relationship. He enjoys us so much that he wants us to enjoy him too. And the word also is used throughout the Old Testament to describe the most intimate relationship, the sexual union between a man and a woman. And it's this depth of knowledge, this intimacy that we're talking about. Know him. Know him. And help those under your care know him as well. And then he says, serve him. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your fathers, and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. Serve him. And then it says, this is not advancing for me, guys. Can you help me out? It uses two words to help explain that. He says completely and willingly. So, with an undivided heart, serve him. Knowing clearly, this is my first and best purpose in life is to serve him and to refuse to be pulled away in all of those different directions that our culture wants us to go. Do it completely. Do it with a whole heart, with an undivided heart, and serve him willingly, not grudgingly, but understanding that this is the greatest calling that you have, your highest privilege, moms, to raise up and influence some little people that will then become big people. Now, if you have littles at home, you say to yourself, how can I ever have time to know him? How can I ever have time to serve him? I barely have time to take a deep breath. But it's seizing those moments, and it's also understanding that where your heart is, God gives the opportunity, the ability to multitask, that it becomes something greater, it becomes something bigger. If it's your heart's desire to serve the Lord God, then even the most mundane things in life become holy. What Paul wrote to the Corinthians becomes so significant when he said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. What could be simpler than eating and drinking? But if your heart is set on serving the Lord God, if you get up with that prayer on your lips, changing a diaper becomes holy work. Picking stuff up off the floor becomes holy work. Fixing a meal becomes holy work. Everything that we do becomes a holy occupation. And this is what he wants us to know. Serve him. Take those moments that you get to know him and to serve him. And then he goes on to tell his son, David tells his son in verse 10, be careful. Now, your translation may read differently. The English Standard Version puts it this way. Be careful. And I think that it struck me as we were hearing this taught there earlier this week. Be careful. I wrote that down before the speaker ever got to that point. Be careful. There are so many things that can stand in your way. There are so many things that can distract you from what you've been called to do. So be careful. Now for Solomon, he was given this assignment of building this massive temple, and it was going to take years. And David's saying, you're going to get distracted by things. Don't. Stay focused. Stay clear in your mind what God has for you. This is his word. Be careful. There are pitfalls out there that we can fall into. David knew it well. He had fallen into some of these himself, and he would wish that his son wouldn't have. There were pitfalls to power. There were pitfalls to wealth. There were pitfalls to the influence, just being king. And there are these pitfalls in life. And he's saying, you've got to be careful. Because you're going to hear a lot of different voices saying, you need to come this way. No, you need to come this way. No, no, choose this way. Always seeking God's will. David goes on to share with his son all of the blueprints that he'd drawn up. He wanted to build the temple himself. They shared those blueprints with his son and said, this is all you need to do. Just follow the plan. And this is what God has given to us, moms. He's given the plan. He has given the blueprint in his word. It will never change because he is changeless. It will always be relevant because he is always relevant. It will always be powerful because he is powerful. This is what he's calling us to. Be careful. Don't let your priorities get skewed. Culture will tell us a lot of things about what's important for your kids, what's important for your life. Culture is usually wrong. And I saw it in my own life when I was in that stage of raising kids, and I watch it. We can invest so much in the extracurriculars, and I'm sorry, graduates, if this sounds mean, but there are a lot of things that are going to matter a hill of beans a few years down the road. Moms, you need to help them focus on the things that are important, the things that will last. Because a few years from now, this is all going to be gone, or at least we're going to be gone from it. Focus on the things that will last. Be careful. And then he goes on, after saying, the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary, he says, be strong. Be strong. This is not for the timid. This is not for the meek. This is not for the weak of character. You have got to be strong. Be resolute. Be courageous. Because if you follow what God has said here, lots of people are going to say you're crazy. Lots of people are going to write you off as being one of those. But God has never failed. He will never fail. You've got to be courageous. You've got to follow him. You've got to be strong. Don't quit. Don't get worn down. Our kids try to do that, don't they? They keep at us and keep at us and keep at us until we give up. Don't do it. There's a reason why God made you the parent at this stage. Don't do it. Stand on what's right. Stand on what's true. Stand on what's lasting. Be careful. He says there's so much. It's worse than the traffic in Dallas. There's more coming at you than six lanes of traffic. And as somebody once said, really applies here, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But it's not easy, and everybody doesn't do it. God is calling you. I'm not just calling you. God is calling you. Mom, stand on the truth. Stand on what's real. Stand on what lasts. And then he just ends with, and do it. Just do it. Times when you don't feel like it anymore. Well, keep getting up in the morning. Keep doing what the next thing is, the right thing. Keep exerting your influence. Just do it. Results are not guaranteed, but God's favor is. Don't ever forget that. Some stuff lasts for a lifetime, but his favor, his smile, will be for eternity. And that's a long, long time. Be careful. Be strong. Do it. Know him. Serve him. This was David's message to his son, and it is God's message for us. Again, if you're in the thick of it with littles, you don't feel like you've got time to do any of this. How can I possibly do it? I've read where Susanna Wesley, who was the mother of two great preachers, John and Charles, she would just put a blanket over her head. And that was as close that she would ever get to being by herself. She had 20 kids. And that was as close as she could ever get to being by herself. And the kids learned, Mom's in a good time out right now. Seize the opportunity. Seize the moments. You'll never regret it. My mom raised seven kids pretty much by herself. And her wishes for us were always clear. She never made any secrets. She didn't care that we would be in any kind of high-profile, high-paying work. She didn't care about money for us. She didn't care about success as the world would define it. Her greatest desire for every one of her kids that we would be somewhere on foreign soil serving the Lord as a missionary. And that's not for everybody, but teaching those under our influence that God has a plan for you, that's real, and that's important. And so I challenge you with this. I encourage you with this and ask that you would just consider continuing to step up day after day after day to be that mom, whatever stage of parenting you are at. Just step up and say, I'm going to be God's mom today. Some years ago, I read a story about a woman who was very, very well educated. She was on a trip. She was on a plane, and she was seated next to someone who was obviously a woman who was obviously a business type, very sharply dressed and, you know, articulate and all that. It's just obvious she was a business type. And inevitably, the what do you do came up. And this mom who had chosen at this stage of life to be a stay-at-home mom replied, I am nurturing two Homo sapiens into the dominant value of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might become instruments of social transformation, preparing them for the eschatological utopia which God has envisioned from the beginning of time. What do you do? Nothing could be more important than shaping lives to know God, to serve God, transforming their own lives, transforming their own circle of influence, preparing them to live in the presence of God Almighty for all eternity. Nothing could be more important. Don't ever, ever sell yourselves short. I want to ask if all you moms would stand here today. I want to recognize you and honor you. Would you moms just stand and pray over you? God bless you. Let's pray. Father, you see all of these who to whom sacrifice is their middle name. Some are at very earliest parts of this journey. Some have seen it through to maybe great grandkids. Lord, would you help them to know how special they are, how special the mission that you have given to them is. Would you help them to know that they will be blessed by you and honored by you, and help them to understand the depth that they can pass on to their kids, the influence that they can continue to exert. Lord, help them to know your grace and your goodness. Help them to know you, to serve you, to be careful, to be strong. Just do it for your honor and your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.